Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools, the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Welcome to another discussion on the Bible and Science, brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools. Hi, this is Jay Oxt with the Institute for Scientific and Biblical Research. The next two programs will complete this series, at least for a while. That being the case, I would like to sum up and recap our previous discussions. If you missed any of these programs, they can be found on WTHU Radio website, which can be found at WTHUradio.com. Then scroll down and click on Family by Design. On the Family by Design section of this website, you will find radio programs produced by Wellspring Christian Family Schools dating back to the beginning of 2023. Our first Bible and Science program aired on March 3rd, 2024. In this program, we discussed the fact that we are losing countless souls due to the constant barrage of anti-truth and evolutionary dogma relentlessly being pushed into our faces on a daily basis. With so much anti-truth and anti-God dogma relentlessly being pushed into our faces, it's no wonder that so many people fall for these lies. According to research conducted by Creation Ministries International, this is the primary reason that young people who grew up in Christian families and attended Christian churches on a weekly basis have fallen away from the faith. Similarly, with this constant barrage of deception, no wonder so many Christians have such a crippled faith. In this program, we talked about how Genesis chapter 1 is not a side issue at all, and that the scriptures and science complement each other and all work together to form fundamental truths that will bolster your faith in God's Word. This program also included a quick review of Genesis chapter 1. A discussion on the concept of truth and the selective science that evolutionists use as a bait and switch tactic. Our second Bible and Science program aired on March 10th, 2024. In this program, we discussed the biblical use of the word day in Genesis chapter 1. Just as the English word day has multiple meanings, the Hebrew word Yom has the same multiple meanings. In English, we have absolutely no trouble at all understanding what someone means when we use that word. We understand the intended meaning by the context of the sentence. This process is so common that we do this without even thinking about it. The same is true for the Hebrew word Yom. Consider this sentence. In my father's day, it took 3 days to drive to Florida during the day. I just used the word day 3 different times with 3 different meanings in a single sentence, and you had no trouble understanding it. The same is true in Hebrew. However, in Genesis chapter 1, I think the Lord was well aware that people would argue about the concept of creation and 6 literal days, so he spelled it out even more clearly by assigning a number to each day and capturing that concept by stating in the evening and the morning for each and every day. In Martin Luther's day, the theological argument was quite the opposite of today's. In his day, the argument was, why would it take an omniscient and omnipotent God so long? Luther's reply was, we need to grant the Holy Spirit the honor of being more learned than you are. One of the major objections to a recent creation only 6,000 years ago is our ability to see starlight from galaxies that are billions of light years away. Miracles by an omnipotent God really shouldn't be a stumbling block. There are several potential answers to that question. So in this session, we also discussed an answer to this question that is fully reasonable by using the scriptures alone. Our third Bible and Science program aired on March 17th. In this program, we discussed how devastating this concept of millions, billions, and gazillions of years can be. It is constantly in your face, as if everyone knows that the earth is that old. This is, unfortunately, a very effective tactic of deception. Let's face it, people tend to believe what supposedly everyone else believes. That's only natural. But everyone has not fallen for this deception. Although at first glance, geology gives us the impression that the mountains and valleys took millions of years to form, at a closer look, it is quite clear that these features are due to the rapid changes that occurred during Noah's flood. Did that worldwide flood actually happen? We looked at the scriptures, and even the New Testament confirms this flood four times, including two times by Jesus himself. We then discussed the sciences that support Noah's flood and this rapid change of geology. We cannot possibly talk about all of the sciences in a single 30-minute discussion. In fact, 30 minutes doesn't even do justice to a single area of science. So, in this session, we lightly reviewed some of the more obvious reasons why geology clearly indicates that the Earth is very young. After this session, we appropriately took a two-week break from the topic of the Bible and science in order to focus on our Lord and Savior's anointing and resurrection. Our fourth Bible and Science program aired on April 7. In this program, we began an introduction to God's incredible design for life. This is an enormous subject, and we could only take a brief look at it, but with today's science, the aspect of God's design screams at us. In this context, we also discussed one definition of the word blasphemy, which is denying God credit where credit is due. When it comes to biology, the evidence of a creator God is so significant that to deny it is utter blasphemy. From there, we discuss the numerous areas of scripture that indicates that God created all life. We also reviewed scripture that confirms that man has been here on earth since the beginning of time, not billions of years later. As we continued this discussion, we talked about the definition of biological evolution, mutations and survival of the fittest, micro and macro evolution, all from the perspective of evolutionism. Then we compared that perspective with the actual sciences of viruses, bacteria, and mutations in general. We also discussed the nature of information and how the DNA code was obviously written by a being far more intelligent than man. Our fifth Bible and Science program aired on April 14. This program was a continuation of our discussion on biology. We discussed some of the evolutionary claims and how many of these are merely bait-and-switch tactics. Once again, by examining some of the intricacies of the DNA and mutations, we showed how obvious God's design is. It is so obvious that even Francis Crick, an evolutionist and Nobel laureate for the DNA research, even he stated once, biologists must constantly keep in mind that what they see was not designed, but evolved. Our sixth Bible and Science program aired on April 21st. We previously discussed the fact that the earth was created in 6 literal days. But when did that occur? Thousands of years ago? Millions of years ago? Billions of years ago? Or gazillions of years ago? The Bible is very specific that the creation event of Genesis chapter 1 occurred only thousands of years ago. But what about radiometric dating? You hear that radiometric dating confirms the millions and even billions of years, right? But does it? Or is this a myth? In this presentation, after discussing the age of the earth from a biblical perspective, we discuss the age of the earth from a carbon-14 perspective. Ironically, and contrary to popular belief, carbon-14 always confirms thousands of years, not millions, not even hundreds of thousands. For this reason, secular scientists won't even use the carbon-14 method for items that they believe to be millions of years old. Why? They know that the carbon-14 data will provide an age that they don't like. So, they simply claim the carbon-14 test is not applicable to this specimen. Our seventh Bible and Science program aired April 28. In Luke 19, the Pharisees were harassing Jesus. They too were challenging God's word. What was Jesus' response? I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. In this discussion, we talked about just that. The stones do cry out. We explained why fossils will only ever be found in sedimentary rocks, a result of Noah's flood, and how rock dating methods can only be used with igneous rocks. So much for radiometric dating of fossils, right? So consequently, the fossils of the geologic column are not dated by conventional radiometric means. That is simply not true. They were assigned dates based on where scientists believe that they fit into the geologic column. In other words, these dates are established via circular logic, not via dating methods. We also discussed the fact that the rock dating methods all contradict each other. They contradict each other because the assumption that the decay rates of these isotopes have never changed is simply not true. Scientists have known this fact since I was in college in the early 70s, but the scientists still ignore it because they do not know how to handle it. Our eighth Bible and Science program aired on May 5. In this discussion, we discussed the explosive evidence for creation provided by the Mount St. Helens eruption in the 1980s. This eruption was one of the most heavily monitored and photographed volcanic eruptions ever. In so doing, these photographs turned 5 areas of science completely upside down. Evolutionists and creationists were shocked and stunned by what they saw. Evolutionists and creationists were shocked and stunned, both. Prior to these eruptions, evolutionists and creationists argued about whether geologic processes took hundreds of years or millions of years. Much to everyone's surprise, these geologic processes at the Mount St. Helens eruptions took place in hours or even minutes right before our very eyes. Undisputable. Our ninth Bible and Science program aired on May 12. In this discussion, we focused on the scriptures one more time. The Genesis 1 creation event is not just a side issue of the Bible. It was not merely described in Genesis chapter 1 and then ignored throughout the rest of the scripture. The creation event is mentioned in at least 49 of the 66 books of the Bible. 49 of the 66 books of the Bible. Are you aware that if the creation event is incorrect, then the Ten Commandments don't even have any basis? Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? We all need to understand that the creation event is mentioned either directly or by extension over 500 times in Scripture. So let me ask you a question. With this many references to the creation all throughout the Bible, if Genesis chapter 1 is not the event that all of these passages are referring to, then what creation event are they referring to? Well, the answer to that question is obviously. In summary, God created you to be with Him throughout eternity. Our 10th Bible and Science program aired on May 19. When talking about creation or evolution, ordinarily the discussion centers around evidence or evidence against one or the other, right? Evidence. Often scientists, though, they act like their statements are fact. But more often than not, those discussions are theories, or maybe even hypotheses, or maybe even just ideas, not facts. However, this does not mean that we can never prove any concept of creation. There are a few aspects of creation that can be shown to be fact by scientific proofs. In this program, we discussed one such scientific fact, that the creation event, in and of itself, defies natural laws, and therefore must have occurred. If it didn't happen naturally, it must have happened what? Supernaturally. And we discussed two other areas of science that clearly indicate that there must be a God, a supreme being of some sort. Science alone cannot state who that God is, but by evaluating the scriptures along with the science and history, the answer to the question of who is God becomes quite obvious. In fact, so obvious, Romans 1:20 sums it up this way: "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Our 11th Bible and Science program aired on May 26. In this discussion, we talked about genetic entropy. As you are aware, things always run down, never up. They always run down, never up. Your flashlight batteries, they run down. They cannot recharge on their own. Eventually, the metal body panels on a car, they're going to rust out, right? They never unrust. That's not even a word. The wood in your house slowly rots. It never unrots, right? That's entropy. The same thing is true about the DNA in your body. It's disintegrating. The disintegration of the DNA alone takes the lives of countless people every day. So in this discussion, we provided about a half dozen facts and illustrations as to how the number of negative mutations, disintegrations of the DNA, far outweighs any possible positive mutation. For this reason alone, biological evolution is impossible. It's impossible. Our 12th Bible and Science program aired on June 2nd. The hot topic of this discussion was global warming, or as they like to call it, climate change now. As Christians, they call it climate change so that any weather effects they can blame on, you know, whatever this is, on blame it on man, right? As Christians, we need to be good stewards and care for the wonderful provisions that the Lord has provided for us, right? That's biblical. That's certainly true. But when it comes to this topic of global warming, our nation currently spends about $500 billion a year attempting to solve a problem that does not exist. That is not godly stewardship. And it's a waste of your time and money to be doing silly things. We need to take care of the earth. I totally agree. Okay? But we need to do it with stewardship, not idiocy. In this discussion, we first talked about several of the supposed claim that the global warming alarmists make. Some are misrepresentations of facts. Some are not even possible, and some are downright lies. We closed the discussion by explaining how, due to the self-regulating nature of the radiant energy that transfers heat back out into space, global warming isn't even possible. This radiant energy that goes back out into space is self-regulating. This confirms that God has designed the earth such that, well, as he stated in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. In 2008, I was shocked at how many well-meaning Christians were falling for this hype and published a book called Global Warming and the Creator's Hand. The key emphasis of this book was that Christians should not let our adversary get us sidetracked into areas that are counterproductive to his plan for us in our lives. Our 13th Bible and Science program aired on June 9. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Yet, our country has spent $45 billion on the Hubble and Webb satellites with the expressed purpose of proving the exact opposite. When we peer into the night skies, the heavens do declare the glory of God. The Hubble satellite data was fully expected to show that the heavens declare Big Bang. It did not. Consequently, it was updated multiple times in order to peer deeper and deeper into space. With each and every enhancement of the Hubble satellite, scientists kept believing that they just haven't been able to see deep enough into space to find that missing data. However, the data from these Hubble revisions kept defying Big Bang, not supporting it. Consequently, they launched the Webb satellite, $10 billion satellite, which could, by their expectations, peer deep enough into space to observe, are you ready for this, what they referred to as the "let there be light" time. What new evidence did the Webb satellite discover? Well, Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. What more can we say? The 14th Bible and Science program aired on June 16. This discussion takes a deeper look at starlight from deep space. In this discussion, we cleared up some issues between facts and theories and discuss some facts that are both scientifically and biblically consistent. We also discuss the flaws of old age ideology and the dangers of presenting these false isms. In previous discussions, we talked about how the biblical explanation alone for the creation week explains how man can see galaxies billions of years away, see the light from these galaxies a billions of years away, however, billions of light years away. However, for some individuals, this is a stumbling block because they are stuck on the math. Consequently, in this program, we also discussed one possibility of several mathematical, scientific explanations that will explain how man can see light from the galaxies billions of light years away. Our 15th Bible and Science program aired on June 23rd. This discussion focused on the topic of fossils. This is another enormous topic. Consequently, we briefly touched on just a few key points, such as, what is a fossil? The formation of fossils. The Cambrian explosion. That's when fully formed creatures at the deepest depths of the geologic column suddenly appear. Very complex creatures. And lastly, human fossils. Well, we are about out of time for today. We will continue this next week. This Bible and Science series may appear to be all about the sciences that support the scriptures, and too often that draws a picture of science, when in fact, the whole key to each and every one of these discussions is support of the scriptures. In and of itself, the science does not matter. For the people who want to reject God's word, this is just one very popular mechanism that they often use. We must always keep in mind, rejecting God's word is a heart issue, not a science issue. Having said that, the purpose of these discussions is twofold. One, to recognize that the scriptures and science are complementary, not contradictory. This should bolster your faith in God's word. And two, to provide you with tools to witness to those who use science as their excuse for rejecting God. In this case, do not expect that you're going to convert them with the sciences. They can raise objections much faster than you can respond to them. Just let them know with full confidence that there is another way to look at that objection, a way that fully supports the scriptures. Next week, we will continue our review of these presentations. We will also provide you with a list of resources that I recommend. Let's close with prayer. Father, you are such a wonderful God. As we look around, everything we see points to you as our amazing, loving creator. How can people miss that? Father, we really haven't had near enough time to adequately discuss any of these topics. I pray that you give our listeners a heart to dig deeper into them and dig deeper into your word. I pray that these topics will bolster their trust in you. I pray that these topics can be used as a witness to struggling Christians and to unbelievers. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for each and every one of us, each and every day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey, helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift the Father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving, the greatest gift. is a life lived for Jesus.